Service page 136, please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, imploring Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord,
and you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your punishment, now and forever. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by my virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The introit. Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. Deal with your servants according to your mercy, and teach me your statutes.
Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with the whole heart. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes, and I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son,
and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. Deal with your servant according to your mercy, and teach me your statutes. Lord,
glory be to God on high,
and on earth His goodwill.
Lord, we implore you, grant your people grace to withstand the temptations of the devil, and with pure hearts and minds to follow you, the only true God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The first reading for the 17th Sunday after Trinity is found in the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs, chapter 25, from verse 6 to 14. Do not exalt yourself in the presence of the king, and do not stand in the place of the great. For it is better that he say to you, "Come up here," than that you should be put lower in the presence of the prince whom your eyes have seen. Do not go hastily to court. For what will you do in the end when your neighbor has put you to shame? Debate your case with your neighbor, and do not disclose the secret to another, lest he who hears it expose your shame and your reputation be ruined. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in the settings of silver. Like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is like a wise rebuker to an obedient ear. Like the cold of snow in time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters. Whoever falsely boasts of giving is like clouds and wind without rain. This is the word of the Lord.
Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth.
The epistle reading is from the fourth chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, and endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. This is the word of the Lord.
Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. Now it happened as Jesus went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him closely. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus answering, spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" But they kept silent. And he took him and healed him and let him go. Then he answered them, saying, "Which of you, having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day?" And they could not answer him regarding these things. So he told a parable to those who were invited, when he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, "When you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him, and he who invited you and him come and say to you, 'Give place to this man.' And then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place,
so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, Friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. This is the gospel of the Lord. We will now confess our most holy Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen. Hymn 358.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and our dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Our meditation this morning is on the words of the Gospel lesson. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And Jesus took him and healed him and let him go. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, who is Lord even of the Sabbath day, dearly beloved hearers of this precious word. Our text this morning starts off with an image that we might not expect to find, given the hospitality between them, the lawyers and Pharisees of the Jews entertaining the Lord Jesus as their dinner guest. Whatever the Pharisees' motivation was for inviting Jesus to dinner on the Sabbath day, we don't know. But we do know that they watched him. They were watching Jesus, not to learn from him, not to seek rest in him, but to try to catch him violating the Sabbath day by doing some kind of work. They were looking for anything that they could use to label Jesus as a heretic and a blasphemer. Now, knowing how careful they were watching him and how careful they were not to do or say anything offensive in front of him, Jesus sort of turns the tables on them. Not literally, I'm sure he was still sitting at his side of the dinner table. But he asked them a question that proved more difficult than they were expecting. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? You see, according to the law of the Old Testament, the Jewish people were forbidden from doing any sort of work on God's appointed day of rest. Everything from buying and selling to travel and even lighting a cook fire in your own home, that was restricted. And the Pharisees, well, they prided themselves on observing the rites and the ordinances of Moses to the letter, or at least outward. For all their knowledge and understanding, none of them could answer Jesus' question. But Jesus knew the answer. We heard the evangelist Luke say before, "Behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy, and Jesus took him and healed him and let him go." The Lord was right that it was lawful to heal on the Sabbath. Why? Well, because to help a brother or a sister in need, that's a labor of love. You see, the Sabbath day restricted outward work and outward labor, and it commanded the people to rest with the intention that more focus would be put on the worship of God and the hearing of the law as it was read in synagogues. But true worship of God not only has to do with the first table of the law, Commandments 1 through 3, which refer to God, but also with the second table, Commandments 4 through 10, which refer to our neighbor. And true love for God shows itself in brotherly love for one's fellow man. The Pharisees and the lawyers were so concerned with observing the outward restrictions of the Sabbath day, including those imposed by rabbinical traditions, that they didn't seem inclined to help the sick man who was right there in front of them. For all their zeal for the law, they didn't understand what it truly meant to fulfill the law. But St. Paul writes to us in his letter to the Romans. He says, "Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law." But Jesus says that they would sooner work to help lift an ox or a donkey out of a pit on the Sabbath day than to work to heal the sick. Which of you? He says, which one? Any of you, say something. Which one of you will have a donkey or an ox fallen into a pit and will not straightway pull it out on the Sabbath day? They showed more love and compassion for a beast of the field and for its suffering more than for a fellow human being. And in their hypocrisy, their own exalted self-righteousness, they had changed God's commandment into a chore and into a hateful excuse not to do good to their neighbor, not to show love. Of course you help your neighbor on the Sabbath, if you are able. And he's much more valuable than an animal. Of course it's lawful to do good on the Sabbath, because as Jesus points out, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So what do we take away from this? Well, if we only look to follow the Lord's commandments, just to reap the praise and the honor of other people, then we aren't following them at all. If we would ignore the needs of our neighbor just to maintain an outward show of piety, then that's really all that we do maintain, an outward show without a real thing. If we would exalt and aggrandize ourselves over our brother and our sister, then we aren't really loving them as we should, because we're to love them as ourselves. And we should always keep this in mind as a curb to our flesh. And in the words of the Lord at the end of our text, whoever exalts himself will be abased, will be humbled. We have to keep that in mind because we don't want to become self-righteous. We don't want to view ourselves as better than our fellow sinners. But we want the Lord to keep and preserve us in a true humility so that we continue to show our faith by our actions and that we keep his commandments out of love to him and to our neighbor. Now at this point, dinner probably got a little awkward. Jesus' hosts were probably regretting the fact they had ever invited him to dinner because Jesus was about to expound a parable about their or lack thereof. He said, when you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him, and he who invited you and him come and say to you, give place to this man, and then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, go higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table. Now, this isn't just a lesson on good etiquette for the sake of keeping up appearances. This parable teaches divine truth, namely that to love our neighbor, namely to want what's best for him, and see him receive honor and praise, that means that we put his needs before our own. In Jesus' day, the better rooms of the house were often located at the higher levels, where the temperature was cooler, the air was fresher, and the food chains were nicer. And Jesus describes the Pharisees as those who loved the best seats in the synagogues and the best places at the feasts. They thought too highly of themselves. That's the point. In their own estimation, they thought that they were honorable and worthy of the best seats in the house. But Jesus begs that question, what if you weren't? Think about how foolish a person would look if after having settled into his nice furnished suite, he was asked to move down to a room in the basement because someone much more important than he had arrived. Imagine going to a wedding and sitting down at the head table where the bridal party is supposed to sit. And how painfully awkward it would be for the father of the bride to come up to you and ask you to move. Well, the lack of love and honor shown to others by a person's own pride, it lacks in love and honor shown to him as he descends to his new court. So instead of taking the best seats for yourself, instead of carving out the best things for you, thinking that you're more worthy than other people, show love to your neighbor and put the honor of others before yourself. The duty of the second table of the law is that we love our neighbors as we love ourselves. So how do we love ourselves? Do we want the best things for ourselves? Then that's what we should give to our neighbor. Whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, Jesus says. For this is the law and the prophets. So if we would want to have the honor and praise of our fellow man, that's what we should give him. Don't be concerned that we are honoring ourselves. Don't be concerned with how much people respect you and esteem you. Because as Jesus says in John 8:54, if you honor yourself, that's no honor at all. But if we love our neighbor, if we give him honor, if we're concerned about him giving preference to one another, then we have praise of God. Just as the humble wedding guest was exalted, promoted, called a friend, then in humility toward our neighbor, we should allow others to raise us up when it's proper. But the result of self-aggrandizing is humiliation. And the reward of the humble is exaltation. Now this sense of humility, we have to confess, that doesn't come from within us. No one's born with an innate sense of humility. Because in each of us lies the sinful flesh. And that sinful flesh loves to promote itself. It loves to puff itself up and think that we're better than we are. At least, in comparison to others. Instead, proper Christian humility comes from the knowledge of the law. That in and of ourselves, we're nothing. Nothing but miserable and wretched sinners who deserve no honor or respect from anyone, let alone God. To arrogantly pride ourselves on our own works or our own merit, that means we've been blind to the truth of God's word about our sins. And even the gospel, that precious doctrine of salvation by grace through faith in Christ, even that, rightly received by the work of the Spirit, teaches us to be humble. Because it shows us that we haven't redeemed ourselves from sin and guilt, but that someone else accomplished it for us. The gospel teaches us that we didn't become God's children by our works on our own, but that we were made his children by the gift of faith. And the gospel teaches us that the eternal inheritance of everlasting life is not something that we earn by following our Father's commands. It's been freely given to us for the sake of our Savior, who pleads to the Father for us. So whoever exalts himself will be humbled, Jesus says. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. The one who places himself above his neighbor, who boasts of his own work and worthiness before God and man, who doesn't seek the Lord's grace, will end up being humbled by God's judgment. And vice versa. Whoever lowers himself in true humility, who puts honor and glory God, and who puts his neighbor before himself, and who willingly serves them as they need to be served, they'll end up being exalted in the Lord's judgment. Friend, the Lord calls. Go higher. This is the kind of humility that makes itself evident in our treatment of our neighbor. It flows from a true love of God, which only comes from a heart. It's an evidence of true repentance over our sins, a true faith in God's grace and mercy through Christ, in whom alone penitent sinner glories. So may the Lord work through his Holy Spirit by the Word to keep us humble, to keep us contrite, and to keep us in the true faith as his children, and show our love to him by our love for the brethren, those who wait patiently on his gracious exaltation on the last day of life everlasting, so that we might receive those uppermost rooms in heaven, all thanks to our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And the peace of God, which hearts and minds through abiding faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Almighty God, our Father, we give you thanks that our Savior Jesus Christ showed his love by humbling himself unto death, that we might be exalted to be with him in heaven forever. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord of the church, we pray that your church on earth would not give out love and forgiveness based on the works of the law, but based upon the perfect compassion of Jesus Christ, the Word. We ask that all pastors in Christ, including our Bishop James, our pastors Michael and Gary, that they would humble themselves by serving the church according to their calling with the assurance that Christ would lift them up. We ask your blessing on Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Las Cruces, New Mexico, and St. Peter and Paul's mission in Silver City, and their pastor, Paul Reideke. We pray for our Learning Center and for our Director Keeley, our teachers, the assistants, the support staff, that they would be completely humble, gentle, and patient, and bear with one another in love. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Guide and support all government officials, especially those who serve in positions of authority, including President Trump, the Congress of the United States, Governor Pritzker, state legislators, Mayor Frattini, city officials, civil servants, the police of this community, and all our judges. That those who have been entrusted with national, state, and community affairs may administer them in good faith. Protect those who serve in the armed forces, especially Timothy, Danny, Jason, Blake, and our police officers, especially Dan and Alex, that they may diligently carry out their duties and be protected from all harm and danger. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
We pray for our shut-in Carolyn, as well as for Violet and Verdell. Provide for the needs of Priscilla, Caitlin, Jade, Kevin, Gib, Linda, Rick, Rebecca, Victor, Marcia, Tony, Gary. Be with Karen Melvin if she undergoes knee surgery, and also be with Mary Schrader. Give comfort to the family of Rachel Zimmerman as they mourn her death, and give them the assurance of the resurrection. Be with and guide our students, Kara, Andrew, Eric, Jonathan, Kirsten, Alexis, Sarah, Benjamin, and Jacob. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
O Lord, Heavenly Father, we here remember the suffering and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Praising his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord God,
Lord of heaven and earth, we praise and thank you for having had mercy on those whom you created, sending your only begotten Son into the flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins.
Let me never be put to shame.
Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Now may this true body and blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Go in peace.
You have given the commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Also with the root I will praise you, and your faithfulness, O my God. To you I will sing the heart, O Holy One of Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now and will be forever. Amen.
This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior.
O Lord, I will make mention of your righteousness. Holy.
Now may this true body and blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Go in peace.
Until now, forsaking me not in my old age, O God, when I am gray-headed.
Savior Jesus Christ. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Thank you. of all people, Christ who lies in the Gentiles, and the glory of your people, Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning,
give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.